Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court handed Joe Biden a big defeat regarding Title IX. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, I love the sound of that, Matt, because as you know, Title IX was first created to protect women and protect their safety and give them equality in sports and in private places. And the Biden administration has been trying so hard to take that away.
Title IX goes back to 1972. And in 1972, Congress passed Title IX that covers these educational institutions that receive some kind of federal funding. For example, if you accept student loans or some other kind of federal funding, so that women would not be discriminated in these institutions, that they would have equal opportunity. And as a result of Title IX, among other things, of course, women can naturally have their own bathrooms and no showers, their own changing rooms.
Please.
And,
yeah.
And in fact, that wasn't even contemplated that that was even necessary. But what was contemplated is that they could actually compete in sports. And so as a result, you see women's volleyball, basketball, all kinds of different sports. Women have excelled in these sports. Girls from high school, they excel in these sports. Some of them get scholarships to go to college. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to attend college. And some of these girls, as they complete college, they go on to play on the Olympics teams, as we just saw, or they go on to play professional sports. Or, you know what, whether they do that or not, most of them don't play professionally. It really is a great way to stay in shape, learn teamwork, learn camaraderie, learn to work together for a common goal. And a lot of women and girls have benefited from it. So this has been a good law that helps women. You see the physical results of it. But Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they have this distorted view that a man can pretend to be and ought to be treated like a woman.
And the gall to threaten these schools that receive federal dollars, the gall to take away that money if they don't abide.
So Title IX is a federal law, and the Department of Education is a federal agency. That federal agency, the DOE, creates rules to apply or implement federal law. Now, up until this year in 2024, these agencies have had a lot of authority to come up with their own policy statements. And they've gotten out of control, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
They have become what has often been referred to as the fourth branch of government. Of course, we only have three branches.
They need to take that away.
But they have been referred to as the fourth branch of government, Holly, because they create these rules. These rules have nothing to do oftentimes with the law itself, but they become binding on the subjects that are being regulated. And so what happened here is Joe Biden went to the Department of Education and instructed the DOE, as well as the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, did the same thing for Title VII, which is your employment law, and said, you know what? Let's reinterpret the word sex, having non-discrimination on the basis of sex, to include sexual orientation and gender identity.
And also regarding sex-segregated spaces and hostile environment harassment.
Yeah, so these new provisions include the new definition of sex to include discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, sex-segregated spaces, and hostile environment harassment. Now, that means that the laws that were designed to protect women under Biden's so-called Title IX final rule does exactly the opposite.
Right, because you would think a hostile environment for a woman would be someone who's advancing sexually toward her or something like that. But they're trying to construe it into if you use the wrong proper pronoun.
Because it also includes pronoun uses.
Yes.
So if you, quote, misidentify somebody, that could create a hostile environment.
Mm.
So in other words, if a man wants to be identified as a woman and you identify that person as a male pronoun, he or him, that person could say, well, you're creating a hostile environment. But it's not just the simple opposite identification. We think of this as male, female, and a male wants to be identified as a female and vice versa.
Oh, well, no, they have many of them now.
There's what, 100 and some different kinds of so-called genders? I mean, there's really only two, male and female. But they've come up with this category of 100 plus.
All these titles.
With all these kinds of crazy titles.
Z, Zim, Who, Hair, whatever.
Yeah, so you could identify as the opposite. You could identify as both. You could identify as neither. And you have lots of other permeations that you can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
You would lose count of who these people want to identify with. And by not using their proper pronoun, that would create a, quote, hostile environment.
So much delusion.
And as a result of creating a hostile environment, which can include, for example, not allowing a man to use a woman's shower, dressing room, locker room, bathrooms, then the school could be faced with the loss of federal funds. So in other words, the Department of Education could come in and say, you are not allowing this man to beat up these women on the court, because that's exactly what happened. They might not use the word beat up, but you're not allowing this man to compete in the women's sports or allowing the man to undress in the women's dressing room. Consequently, you will be fined hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, and any student loans that otherwise these students want to pay towards their tuition, you won't be able to receive. You will be disallowed to have eligibility to receive student loans. So this case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court on an emergency injunction pending appeal. So it's one of those rare situations. We got two emergency injunctions pending appeal. They're very difficult to get because it is an injunction that you're asking the high court to enter while the case below is ongoing before the Supreme Court ever has a chance to actually look at all the merits. We got an emergency injunction in December of 2020 and also in February 2021 regarding the church lockdowns. Well, here you have a 9-0 decision, Holly.
And why the Biden administration thinks this is an emergency is yet to figure out.
Yeah, you have a 9-0 decision by the Supreme Court to uphold the preliminary injunction. So what happened is the lower courts granted the injunction.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden administration said it's an emergency.
Oh, no, we can't have
this. We've got to undo this injunction.
We can't have these
women. We've got to allow Title IX final rule to go into effect. And the Supreme Court said, no, you haven't proven your case. We're going to allow this preliminary injunction to stand and block the Biden administration's new Title IX final rule.
Let's see, this final rule was supposed to take effect August 1st. So you know, I'm sure the Biden administration was fighting to try to keep that deadline. But fortunately, the high court, all of them, ruled in favor of protecting these women.
In fact, all of the courts that have looked at this have sided against this Title IX rule, have issued injunctions. Most recently, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals became the 7th court in the nation to temporarily block, while the case is pending below and ongoing, the Biden administration's unconstitutional rewrite of Title IX, raising the tally to 26 states that do not have to enforce it. Now, the 11th Circuit's order blocked the Title IX changes for Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, joining injunctions from 6 district court judges that these changes across 22 states, they cannot be implemented. So now we have 26 states added together with all of these. Unfortunately, that means that we have the rest of the states, primarily the blue states, that have not challenged this. And the colleges and universities in those states are under this rewrite. However, my suggestion is that if the Biden administration tries to apply these against particularly the religious schools or other schools, And these schools push back even though they don't have a pending injunction.
See you in court.
Yeah, they will win.
Yeah.
See you in court, Biden and Harris, because right. this is unconstitutional.
Absolutely. And you know, Matt, you think about these women, these girls, not only protecting their safety and their privacy, but they have worked every day to get where they are in these sports. And to have them rip that away by some male is wrong.
It's unfair. It's wrong. It's just
not
insanity.
Reality. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. And by the way, the Supreme Court in 2024, they overruled this so-called Chevron case, which gave deference to these administrative agencies. They no longer have deference now. So they're not going to have the kind of unleashed power that they've had historically. It is a time to rein in this out-of-control agency branch. For more information, go to lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.